So today might be a little bit different, and let us never fall into a structure. Let us never fall into this is the system. This is what a Sunday looks like. Mm-hmm. So as I'm standing here, I'm taking a chance as well. Thank you for extending grace to me. You don't know me yet. You spending the afternoon a little bit of it listening to me, but it won't just be me. So thank you for that. So if it's okay, Avasit Lee, I can just do that. That's beautiful. Thank you. If your fingers get too sore, you're welcome to stop. But you can just pad. And I don't think I'll be that long. And my hope was that we can just flow through what we feel the Lord might be doing today. So as you can see, we spoke to, like, with the elders, we concurred a little bit. What do you think? How should we do this? And that's kind of how church should be. Because the elders are responsible for where the church is going. Not, this is the structure, now we can all just fall into that. But what is Jesus wanting today? Because our heart is that Jesus enjoys today more than we enjoy this thing.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
That he leaves blessed and fulfilled more than we, like, okay, that was a cool message. I'm so much smarter now. Now I can be a better person. You know, God does bless us and he wants us to be better. But our heart should be, Lord, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Not my will, your will. Yeah. So is that okay? We can do this. So I'm risking as well. So thank you for your grace. I've also invited Julie and Jeanette and Mary. Also, if you guys feel any kind of prophetic word, or I don't know who else is operating in those gifts, you're welcome to bring some stuff soon. I do want to say, you know what, I do want to pray. Let me just first pray. Lord, I pray that this whole meeting is a prayer to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Talking to you, engaging with you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Not just going through steps. I thank you for a people, Lord, whose hearts are turned towards you, Lord, who want to please you, who's looking to you and going, Lord, not my will, your will.
Yes.
Thank you for these people. Yeah, Lord, will you bless this time? Right now, will you just be here, Lord? And in a sense, we can prepare as much as we want to, Lord, but we don't want this to be something of man. We want this to be something of your Spirit.
Yes.
So, Holy Spirit, will you come and have your way?
Yes.
And do what you want done. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, it's so easy to think, oh, next week we're going to be in there and there's going to be sound. Or, you know, the other time, and eventually we're going to be 100 and it's going to be great. And then maybe bigger, and then we're going to have these big, and then. And all these things to look forward to, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful to have that heart. But I actually want to say, don't despise a small start. Not that this is that small, but don't despise what God's already doing. I mean, he started with 12. He only needs a few good people. If you think about how yeast works, you know, the Bible speaks about yeast in a negative context. Normally we read it in a negative context, that a bit of yeast works through a whole batch of dough, so be careful. But it also works positively. A few good people can change a city. You know? So don't despise this. Like, I almost want to say, take pictures. Remember this.
Yeah.
Often we tell parents of young like babies, and they're like just coping, you know? They're just coping, and then the baby's like one, and they're just coping. If you can just get the knowing smile at the back, you know, if I can just get through this, and let me just cope. But actually to say, you only have 2 weeks of newborn, you know, and you only have a little bit of the first steps, and there are these stages and moments that when they pass forever, they're gone. And you think back, but if you manage to have captured that or taken a video or two or some photographs, you look at those so fondly later, they become the most precious thing. So the same way for a young congregation, don't miss the beautiful moments that you have now. I feel that almost prophetically for you guys. Cherish this. It is precious. Because when it gets bigger, it gets harder to know everybody. That intimacy doesn't get diluted, but it becomes almost overwhelming. It becomes harder. A lot more things need to be done. Whereas now, you know, every person's name, there's more intimacy, and it's just such a beautiful, sweet thing. And Jesus started with fewer people. Yeah, and look at what happened. So don't despise that. You will grow quickly. you'll grow quickly. But that shouldn't be the goal. The goal is not, okay, we're going to do this and then we're going to grow. Yes, it's good to have the heart. We must make disciples of all nations. But never let that great commission override the great commandment, which is love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys can just love the Lord, and you do, I can see it. I don't know you, but I can see it. So I want to encourage you in that. You will need to have all hands on deck. It would require, I'm not even preaching, guys. This is, I'm just feeling this prophetically. I did not prepare this. I do feel you will need all hands on deck because there's no space to hide here, which is the most beautiful thing. You can't, it's not like a cruise ship and you can like hide in a little cubicle or, you know, an NFL game that I've never seen in my life, but you can be in the bleachers and just like observe and yeah, they should be doing that. And no, no, you're on the field.
Yeah.
You're on the field. So watch the ball. You're in the team. You're operating. You know, you're not a rescue victim. You're a rescuer.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're saved, you become part of the rescue team. That's what you guys are.
Mm.
So I wanted to encourage you guys, just with that, to have that freedom. Because another cool thing about a smaller group is you don't have to follow a specific format. Even now, you know, there's no like, okay, now we have three songs and announcements, and then there'll be a preach. And be careful of any kind of structure
yeah.
in any kind of church, no matter what's happening, because the structure can maybe not be where Jesus is at the moment. So you have a beautiful freedom here, and because of the size, you can be dynamic and quickly shift.
Mm-hmm.
And a quick message or quick, you can shift, and there's freedom in that, and that can be beautiful. Mm-hmm. To ask, Lord, what do you want today? And to shift that. I mean, we didn't even plan this the way this is now. God is saving the world. His plan is to save the world. And then I'm going really big, really wide now. And he says he's going to save the world. How is he going to do that? Through his church. He says he uses the church to save the world. It's his pleasure to use the church to save the world. And who's the church? We are the church. So he's using this to save the world in this area. You are it. Not, okay, I'm sitting here and I'm going to see how these guys are going to do it. No, no. You are it. Like it's on each of us. I wanted to encourage you guys with that. We're just not saying, I will give you all the glory. I will give you all the praise. I will give you everything. What does that look like?
Mm.
In the context of this?
Yeah.
For every person. For every person. So I just felt to encourage you guys that there's a lot happening spiritually and these dynamics. Like, cherish these moments, cherish these times, because they're precious and they're not going to last. It's going to get big and wild, and that's great, but it's from beginnings like this.
Yeah.
Jeanette, I don't know if you want anything to add some stuff, like what you guys are feeling. Julie, I know you've been busy all right already, but...
I'm good.
Okay.
I want to start with saying, it feels like the Lord is really jealous for you. It feels like I almost feel weighty, I almost feel scared to speak because I don't want to get it wrong. If it makes sense. It's like he's going, touch my bride with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's beautiful and it's scary. So I feel like this evening, it feels like the Lord wants to build you as living stones into his house so he can dwell. And it's each one of you playing a part, each one of you. And when I was worshipping, I felt God saying, I want to commission people this evening. I want to let them know that they have a role to play, that they matter, that they were chosen by name to come in and build, and to build well. And so I'm almost trembling. I feel like I'm... Oh. But I do know that God has words for you guys. I know that he wants to call you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Spirit comes, he brings... It's the same Spirit that brings the Spirit of wisdom. It's the same Spirit that brings discernment, the gift of healing, miraculous powers. And it's the same Spirit. And this evening, the Lord wants to impart part of himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
In that Spirit, so that you... could come together and build up his bride in a way that is healthy, a way that is real, in a way that is very genuine, and he is jealous for her, and he is jealous for you. So that's what I was feeling. I don't know if I can.
If you expected a slick, neatly laid out preach tonight, I apologize. You're not going to get that. And sometimes it's good to get that. It's good to get that kind of meat. But God speaks his truths in many ways.
Yeah.
And it's good to get that kind of knowledge. And the Spirit works in the Word. The Word is powerful. And I will touch on it. But just, all of this is church.
Yeah.
All of this is we're risking it. We're taking a chance, Lord. And this is the thing about leading a meeting like Andreas is doing now. Holy Spirit, is this where you're going? What do you want to do with your people? Because it's his people and it's his church, not ours. I do feel something for the congregation specifically and for us, and that is we're going to need to portray and display his characteristics. We need to look like him.
Yeah.
God blesses that that looks like him in your response to that. And I think this is more an encouragement. It's definitely not a shift, because I think you guys are living this out already. But just the posture of Jesus. And that posture of humility. And I can see you guys have it. So I'm not addressing that in you. But I want to say how important that is. And how beautiful that characteristic is to the Lord. So I really just wanted to encourage you in that. God has a very specific way in which he wants things done. You see that in how the ark is being brought back. You know, because it touches it meaning well and dies. You know, like there are a lot of these things where God is very specific on some things, and it's still his church, it's still the same God. He's very specific about what he wants his church to be like, and the heart that he wants in his church. And we can easily run off in a direction with what we think church should look like. Day by day, Sunday by Sunday, every day of the week, what should the church look like? But it's important to go back to what he says about it every time. And to follow the Spirit in that, to say, well, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing now? So I want to encourage us not to miss what God is doing. Not to miss. And the aspect of him that I want to speak on is a little bit, is just his humanity. His posture in that. And just how it's the way of the Lord. It's almost like the same way that gravity is a physical principle, humility is a spiritual principle. And God is attracted to that. He says in his word, he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. I actually do have a scripture reference for that. James 4 verse 6. He resists the proud. Zechariah 4 6. Not by strength, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And maybe we can do this later. I have lots of stories about how God has humbled me in my life, in my journey to here. And we can talk about that at another time. I really feel, not that the Lord rebuke me, but almost say, okay, it's not about you, Joe. It's like, I want you to speak this. So I want to speak about that posture of ours. In that, can we recognize how weak we are? Because often it's not that we are too weak to do stuff for him. It's that we don't realize how weak we really are. And how much we need him.
Yeah.
You know, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them something, what is the one thing they asked him? Teach us how to do this thing. You know what it is?
Pray.
Pray, yeah. Teach us how to pray. Of all the things Jesus did, he raised people from the dead. He walked on water.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Jesus, teach us that trick. You know, that would be so cool. Imagine, you know? But no, he asked them how to pray. Something we do every day.
Yeah.
Why would he? It's because when Jesus prayed, it looked different.
Yeah.
When Jesus prayed, he prayed to his Father, and he recognized the need he had. That he couldn't do anything without the Father, without the Spirit. He couldn't do anything. The Spirit descended on him when his ministry started in baptism. Spirit led him into the desert. Spirit led him to what to say. Spirit led him everywhere. He spent time with the Father because he needed it. And if he needed it, at more than half the time, he spent time alone with the Father. If he needed it, how much more do we need? He had a dependency on God. Do we run church without that dependency on God?
Mm-hmm.
Can we be a people that, Lord, we need you for every step? God has shown that to me over and over in my life. I thought I was competent to do stuff. And then God would just break into my life. And over and over show me. And I would realize, okay, Lord, I'm back on my knees. I cannot do this without you. So that's a story for another day. And he says his grace is sufficient for us. Luke 11:1, he says, the disciples asked, teach us how to pray. Do we have that posture, the same posture of Jesus? You know, the Bible often refers to the Holy Spirit as water. For the academics there, John 4, John 7, Isaiah 44, Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 47 is a reference. Sorry, the writers. There's a reference of the Holy Spirit is like water. It's a common, might have even heard words like that. How does water flow? To the place of least resistance.
Yeah.
How will the Spirit flow to us if we love? To the place of least resistance. Even the wind. I hear you guys get some strong wind systems here sometimes. Even that is from a high pressure to a low pressure. That's why there's wind. Least resistance. To let the Spirit flow, a yielding is required. And God goes, I like that, I'll go there. He resists, actively fights against the crowd. When you read about Jesus' humility, go read Philippians 2. It speaks about Jesus' posture. It's a beautiful piece. Can we have that same attitude? And Andres, I don't have a well-structured preach anymore. But I want to end with this picture. And I want to actually read a piece of scripture, which is normally what I do more of, because then I can't speak nonsense. It's literally just the word. So I want to do at least some of that. And this is Isaiah 6, guys. And it says this. In the year King Isaiah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Hovering around him were mighty seraphim, each with six wings. Can I just stop there? The train of the robe filled his temple. And I always thought, okay, yeah, it's like a robe. Okay, and it was flashy. In those days, what a robe meant is, if you conquered another kingdom, you would get a section of that king's robe, and you'd attach it to your robe. And the more kingdoms you conquer, the longer and bigger your robe would become. And it's a sign of victory, a sign of authority and ultimate power. And some of them would be long for those kings. And what Isaiah sees here is that there's this huge temple, and a train of God's robe fills the entire temple. It means there's no greater victor, there's no greater ruler, there's no one more powerful. He's fully victorious and fully in charge. Like all authority, all power. That's what that means. Not like, oh, there's a lot of material in the way. It just points to power. Then hovering around them were mighty seraphim, each with six wings, so angelic beings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with the remaining two they flew. In a great chorus they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." They sang so loud, the glorious singing shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke from the singing and the shaking. That's a lot of noise. That is, like, we can't even comprehend that. So Isaiah sees all this. And this whole thing points to God's power, His glory, and His holiness. The seraphim, literally it means burning ones. That's what the word means. It means they were so on fire for God. They were burning ones. They weren't human. They're not human. They're angels. Or seraphim. They're created beings. Not angels, sorry. But it points to purity and passion. These things, created beings, full of purity and passion. And still, they can't behold God. They can't look at Him. They cover their faces. They can't look at God straight. They would also die. As pure as they are. So that's why they cover their faces with their one set. They could not gaze directly into God. And with the other pair, they hit their feet or their lower bodies. It points to hiding anything that touches the earth or anything unclean. Because nothing can be in His presence. They don't want to show that. It's not hiding sin. It just means they're showing they're unworthy. They're unworthy to be before Him. And they're the ones created to be before Him. It covers any impropriety before an all-seeing God. It's this beautiful picture of created being in the presence of the Creator. There's a profound reverence, humility, and awe of these beings. And they were pretty awesome beings. So they're declaring just by their posture that God is uncreated holiness. I'm just trying to create this picture, a more of a visual idea of what this passage is explaining. And then with another set of wings, they're flying. And they're maintaining the right position for service. The reverence doesn't let them become lame. Like, I'm just in the corner because you're so big and I can't do anything. No, they're ready for service. They're right in position. They're watching the wall. Okay, what must we do? They're still working. They're still ready to do things for the Lord in that position. Reverence never paralyzes. So if God wants you to do something here or shows up here or you see God moving, it shouldn't make us paralyzed. Like, okay, no, God's doing stuff. I'm not going to do something. No, he wants you to engage. He wants you to participate in what God's doing in this congregation. Don't become paralyzed because he's here. Become activated because he's here. Deep reverence. Alongside with that, you get ready obedience. You get that in Ezra, in Revelations, where the same kind of preachers announce God. They announce his holiness. And these seraphim, you don't even really know what they look like, because they want all the focus to be on God. They want all the focus to be on God. So Isaiah sees this, and then he says this. He observes all of this, and he says, basically, oh, I suck. Basically, I'm horrible. Like, my destruction is sealed, he says. For I'm a sinful man and a member of a sinful people. And he was probably the holiest guy in all of Israel. He was the high priest. You know, he was the prophet. God spoke to him. And even as this man has been purified and spoken to the Lord, he sees this and he realizes how small he is, how unworthy he is. And he sees how big the gap is between God and us. And we think, yeah, we're casual with God, like hand in the pocket. Hey, God, yeah, I hope today goes well. You know, and we bring him our, like, will you please help me with this? Thank you. And we just bring our stuff to him, but we forget who we're talking to. We forget that posture. And then the story goes on where he says, like, he's on the ground and he's like, I'm not worthy. And then one of the seraphim brings him a coal and he touches his lips. And then there's a voice that says, who shall I send? And he says, and he jumps into service. And says, send me. But it's from that posture of, God, you are so big, I can't get near you. That humble position that God goes, okay, I can use you. And the heart is, okay, I will go, I'll do stuff. But it's that position. Not like, hey, yeah, God can speak to me, I can prophesy some stuff, I'm going to throw some prophetic words around. Thank you, God. It's not a casual thing. It's a posture of humility. It's like, Lord, let this be your words. I don't know. It cannot be in my own strength.
Yeah.
It cannot be. That's the only way. That low posture. That's where the Holy Spirit responds to.
Yeah.
And that must be the posture for the church. Like, we need the Lord for everything we do, for every step, for every key that gets played there, every heartbeat. Do you know how many things God is already and still doing that we're not even praying about or thinking about?
Yeah.
Who today has thought, okay, inhale, exhale, you know? No. God has put a system in place that it happens automatically. Heartbeat. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. There's so much that God has done and doing constantly around us that we're not even worried about or considering that if he doesn't do, we would not exist.
Yeah.
All the time. We don't know how much we need him. We have to be so dependent on him. Let us be a people that's so dependent on him.
Yeah.
That don't move unless he says move.
Yeah.
And if he says, who shall I send? That we go, here we are, send us. Let's do this. Let's run on. Isaiah was low, and then he was useful. He got a tough job. He had to tell people who believed they were blessed by God that actually they were disobedient and they were going to get destroyed. That's a tough mission. But we kind of have the same mission today. You know, and that's a prophetic mission to the world. But in this, from that position, let us not draw back, but step forward. Not, okay, well, there's some good deacons here, some people that speak well, or pray loudly, or make good contributions. They can do it. They're good at it. I'm not going to do it. That is the, that's a false humility. Humility is recognizing how great God is, how sinful we are, and then the extent of God's forgiveness and mercy and receiving power to do His work. That's what humility is. It's not, okay, I'm the least, I'm not going to do anything. I had to, in my life, many times I had to repent for thinking I could do things by myself or in my own strength. But there's no way. If you want to do it God's way, there's no way. We need the Lord. If we think we can do this without the Lord, we have pride. Or if you think you shouldn't do it because you're not holy enough. I haven't read my Bible this week, so I can't go pray for someone. I can't bring a prayer in the prayer meeting. I can't ask the Lord for a prophetic word because He's mad at me because I haven't read His word. That's not how God works. His arms are always open for you to run back to Him. Let us have that there was a word here for somebody. Was it this one about the sonship? Was it this morning? The son in the house.
Yeah.
For Andreas. For Andreas. But a son in the house. And a son runs to his father. He runs to him. He's not like, okay, what are your next orders? That's a servant. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? It could be many things. For me, for myself, it was competence, it was health, it was a feeling of independence. That was those were the things that tripped me up and kept me proud, or kept me not humble. But for others, it could be your opinion. It could be the success that you've achieved already. It could be success in the workplace. It could be that you have survived something, or you're self-accomplished. These are not bad things, but if they get between you and the Lord, whatever happens here is God's mercy. But let's tap into that. Can we be a people with that posture? Can we be a people that trust God? Trust the leaders. They're going to do the best that I know long.
Yeah.
I've known long for many years.
Yeah.
And I've looked up to Him all that time. He led a congregation that we were kind of part of. It was Jason too. It was the same people, but different times for us. Good man. So he's worthy of being followed. They cry for you guys. They will die for you. I know that. They're trustworthy people. And the team they build will be trustworthy. You can trust them. And not because they are so great. They're pretty great, but not because they're so great. Because they trust the Lord in what they do. That's all. You can trust them because they trust the Lord. That's the main reason. So can we have that same attitude, that same atmosphere that Jesus had, of that posture?